Welcome back to Rosie on the House. We are visiting with Rita Crompton, the inventor lady, nurturing your passion for inventing. I bet you half of our audience this morning has ideas they've thought about. In visiting with Rita, most of the time you said people come up with ideas from their own life.
They do, and those are the best. You know, when somebody sees a problem they're having around the house or in the yard with the pet, and they say, oh, I can do this, and they test it, they make something around the house, and they start using it, and somebody sees it and says, oh, you should patent that, or you should take that to market. And you do not need a patent to go to market. The patent allows you to negotiate. So people, you know, look at where they're going with something. Are they going to just, you know, sell it at a little farmer's market, or is it something that they think has really got some serious market potential? But the best ones are the ones where people just come up with, solve a problem they had around the house.
I think probably a good indicator is when people look at it and say, why didn't I think of that?
You know,
how many times do we just struggle through a problem because we have just this resource and don't think to go the next step? So that those inventions are really fun. We also talked about the fact that most of the inventors seem to be a little on the older side. You're at a different stage in life. You're kind of thinking forward, what could I do as I retire? And so you have a little time to tinker and think through things, right? So I kind of noticed that on the inventor floor, I'd have to say most of them were a little older, though there's some entrepreneurial young people too, but
But most of the ones that are getting a product into the marketplace, you're exactly right. They tend to be in their 50s. I've got clients that are just working on intellectual property and prototypes that are well into their 70s.
Wow. Yeah, that's something you can always do. And you were tell me you think people have there's two things you need.
You need a stomach lining and a budget. Because it's going, you lay awake and you worry about it. You lay awake and you start solving problems. You wonder if you're making the right choice, and you've got to have a budget. There's no, when somebody says, well, I want to get an investor. No, there aren't investors for ideas. Ideas are like belly buttons. Everybody's got one, and it doesn't matter how cute yours is. I cannot sell it.
You mentioned how much crowdfunding has changed.
It really has. It has changed the whole scope of being able to raise funds. And you still have some upfront work that you need to do before you could do crowdfunding. But once you've done those stages, now instead of having $500,000 in a bank account to do the manufacturing part of it, you can actually do a product pre-sale as a crowdfunding campaign. And some of that gives you a sense of, are people really interested in this? What kind of marketing do you need to do to get the people involved before you've spent all the money?
Right. I think that's just probably the biggest game changer that you've seen in recent years is that crowdfunding. Just throw it out there. But I guess another big issue, though, is getting people to buy into your vision. Don't you see how great this is? There was one invention, Romy, at the hardware show. It was that zip tie. And my daughter Julia looked at that and she said, that is the coolest thing. And Romy's like, big deal. But then as you look at it and you start playing with it, then you catch the vision. You're like, wow, I could have one of these every size. I can double back through. It had some unique little features to it. And then we bought into it. But it wasn't the kind of thing I would have stopped at the booth and said, hey, look at this thing. So a big part of it is getting people to buy in.
Exactly. And for some inventors, packaging is more important than what's in it, because if you can't get people to pick it up and look at it, they're certainly not going to buy it.
Wow. Interesting.
Wow. Well, Romy and Rosie are in studio with me. They've each had their own ideas over there. You want to give them a little consult here right on air?
Absolutely.
Well, I'm not sharing my idea because I still think it's a...
Oh, you still think so?
Yeah. All right. She said, hey, first to market. I don't want to give someone else my idea that's got a little bit more time on their hands.
Well, I thought Rita had kind of told you it was going to be a hard one to sell, but you've got some other ideas now.
Well, where do you start, I guess, is the first question.
The first thing you start doing is some of your own looking around. Get, you know, go into the USPTO database. See what kind of keyword search you can get. Before you spend a lot of money, the next thing you want to do is a professional search. I sign non-disclosure non-competes all the time for people, so that covers then me, anybody who works for me, any of the professional searchers that I have that go out and do then that professional search for someone. And that's where then they do a comprehensive search of the USPTO database. They do an international search, and they also do a product search. There's a lot of things in the marketplace that do not have a patent on them, but they will affect then your ability to successfully file for a patent. And like I said, you don't have to have a patent to go to market, but you certainly want to know that you're not infringing on somebody else. getting a cease and desist is not any fun after you've spent a lot of money to get there. But a lot of times you can look at the other things that have been done and say, mine is better because it does this. And so you're starting then with at least some baseline drawings or a baseline product.
So, Rome, you're smart in not sharing, especially with the new patent law. You want to keep those ideas. Yes. You don't want to be telling everybody, what do you think about this, before you've kind of done your due diligence and started protecting your idea if you're really serious.
Yes, and you can talk to people about, if I told somebody I invented a baseball bat that will hit the ball every time, I have not given them an enabling disclosure. All I've done is saying what industry I'm in. So for me as a professional, I can answer a lot of questions about audiences and marketplace and that type of thing without knowing exactly how you're going to accomplish this feat. Now, somebody's, you know, doing something really, really simple that says, I'm going to prevent you, you know, anything from going down into a garbage disposal, then you need to be a little bit more careful. But when in doubt, don't say anything.
Now, if somebody contacts you, are there certain keywords I need to be looking for if you think this is a horrible idea? or are you just blatantly say to somebody, you're going to spend a lot of money on probably not getting anywhere?
Well, that's one of the reasons I signed a non-disclosure non-compete, is so that I can ask more questions about what you're trying to accomplish. And if it's something that I have seen, I can say, you know what, you really don't want to go down this road. Seen somebody else try it, and you just don't want to do that. Somebody comes to me and they say, you know, I've created a new engine. Really want to know a little bit more about your education, and if you don't have something in, you know, engineering, something in physics, probably going to give you some indigestion big time to get down that road.
Well, Rita, you told me about the craziest one. That you'd ever seen.
One I ever heard, and this is not an enabling disclosure, but it will give you a sense of the unusual. All right, with a gentleman that came to me and wanted information about getting to market and filing intellectual property on a enterprise spaceship type of vehicle that would allow God to have a face-to-face meeting with humans.
Wow. Wow.
And that was without being, you know, kind of, oh my God, no pun intended, you know, can you give me some drawings? Can you give me something that shows you know what you're talking about? But he eventually found a patent attorney that filed a patent for him.
Wow. So is it in production, do you know? Is that in production yet?
No.
Well, what is one of the favorite things that you saw at the hardware show that you took there this time?
It was the hoverboard buddy system. A gentleman that had taken a baseline hoverboard and put attachments on top of it that now turn it into a working tool.
Now, I saw that, but I really didn't catch the vision. Can you kind of explain what that looks like?
You've got a $250 hoverboard that you can put an attachment on, and now it becomes a two-wheel dolly, so you can strap a stove to it and move it into a building. You can put a wheelchair on top of it. And so for some folks, you know, a few hundred dollars gives them a motorized wheelchair, but those motorized wheelchairs are several thousand dollars.
Oh, cool. And I see it other kind of general applications as well.
Oh, he's got about 13 of them.
Wow. Yeah, I saw it actually in several places on the floor. Did you see those, Romy, the hoverboard? I didn't see it work in action. I think I need to see a picture, you know, a video.
And there are a bunch of videos. I know that the favorite one has been the golf cart version, but he won third place for innovation at the Med Trade Show with the wheelchair version.
Hmm. Wow.
And that was one of the ones where a Chinese company came and said that they wanted to license the intellectual property for manufacturing and distribution in China only.
Wow.
Well, so that one has got some significant potential. And he's filed a lot of intellectual property on that.
All right. Well, Ms. Rita, we wanted to thank you for joining us this morning. This has been a lot of fun. If our listeners have an idea they'd like to run by you, how can they find you?
If you can post my email, you can post my phone number. It's all over the place. They can Google Inventor Lady, and I come up very quickly. They can also go through the National Hardware Show site.
Yeah, I found you very easily this morning, theinventorlady.com. trademarked. She's the only one out there, and she will help nurture your passion for inventing. You have a lot of actually free advice on the website itself about what we've talked about this morning. How do you begin, and what should you do to kind of get started, make sure you even have something that's going to work and be worth your time. And then I don't know if you can help people with the stomach lining part, but you can kind of help walk them through the patent process and all that. So.
And, you know, when you say spend a lot of money, that is different. That's in the eyes of the beholder. So somebody can spend, you're right, $250,000. Somebody else can get to market on $15,000.
Yeah, and just every step of that takes money. The booths at the hardware show, the different shows they would have to go to, the patent, consulting, that's everything.
That's the budget part of that, stomach lining in a budget.
And getting it packaged right. You know, who would have ever thought of that? Getting someone to stop and pick it up.
You have to really believe in your product. Yeah. You have to believe that your idea is going to make a difference for other people. Rita, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
A pleasure. A pleasure. You guys have a nice day and a nice weekend.
You too. You too.
The inventor lady. Now, that would be a fun job.
Yeah.
Just playing around with hundreds and hundreds of other people's ideas all year long and distilling it down to the ones that have some real market value and allowing to empower that inventor and nurture him through to the finish line. That's a cool job.
There's a lot of hope in those people's eyes when you pass by their booths. There really is. And they just want to show you so bad, and they want to convince you this is where you what you need.
Well, if you go out in my garage, I've got like this hanging clothes plastic. I don't know what you call it, but it's just, you know, it's where my out-of-season clothes hang. And there's camouflage jackets in there that make me look like a ponderosa pine tree. There's camouflage in there that make me look like a marsh in wetlands. There's camouflage in there that makes me look like
G.I. Joe.
No one has invented the camouflage that makes you disappear in the desert.
There are desert camo brands, but it's mainly like Sahara Desert, sand desert.
That's right.
And it's
Sonoran Desert. There's the invention. Photographic Sonoran camouflage, where you can literally just disappear.
Did you ever just think about dressing up like a saguaro? You know, you got your
arms. There you go.
Be like a cell tower.
Right. <yeah. laughs> All right, let's talk a little bit about staycation right after we get back.
All righty.